Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Holly Blackwell here with me. And Holly is the owner of H2M Solutions, which is a full-service digital marketing agency based out of Texas. So today we're going to be speaking with Holly about her journey of starting and growing her agency, how she maintains happy clients along the way, and some challenges she's also had to overcome along the way. So thank you so much for joining me today, Holly.
Thanks, Julia. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So I'd love to know, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
Oh, that's a good question. The main reason I even started my agency and the thing that keeps me going, I've done this for 17 years, actually. So long before,
long before there was
you know, Facebook, YouTube, there was no such thing as online ads, you know, none of that. So it wasn't a digital agency necessarily. It was just building websites. But the same thing motivates me today that motivated me then. And that's, I love this, to see the success of my clients. I don't want to make money if they're not making money. And so that motivates me, keeps me going, keeps me doing what I do. It's what
that's
I love.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah. And so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Yeah, I had a little boy and I was a teacher, actually. So I knew that I had kind of planned on going back to teaching when he got a little older. But In between there, I wanted to make some money. And so I learned about building WordPress websites. It was
a little course.
Yeah, exactly. WordPress came out in 2003, I think it is.
And yeah.
Just after that, actually, that I kind of played around with them. I was doing something on the side just for myself, actually. And then I built a couple of websites and sold them. And then a few people said, well, hey, this business could use a website, this business. So I just began building websites. But of course, after a while, it was not good enough just to build a website because you got to be found, you know. So
exactly.
Yep. And SEO started pretty soon after that. And that was the Wild West. You could just put a bunch of keywords on things and be found. And, but that changed and that became more technical, more specific and more, you know, there was a lot more nuances to it. And that's my actual love. It's like a puzzle to me. I love to do SEO. And so So that's how I kind of flew into it, but flowed into it as well. I built websites and then started SEO. And then what would happen is my clients would say, hey, can you, do you know anything about this Facebook thing? Do you know anything about videos? Do you know anything?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it just grew from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Just into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. And then, so when did you officially, you know, launch H2M Solutions? You know,
2008.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And what was that like, you know, transitioning from being a freelancer to, you know, growing the agency and then, you know, working with the team?
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, honestly, it was a natural progression. I realized, you know, I can't do, and I was building websites myself. So I wrote the content. I built the, you know, websites. I had a friend who took photographs and that kind of thing. And so, but I realized there was just no way I could keep doing that myself. That's when I named my agency, I should say. So I don't even know that I went from
Got
a freelance.
It.
Yeah, I don't even know that I went from a freelancer to an agency. I think I went from a freelancer to having named my freelance agency is what I'd say.
Right.
So I didn't decide to actually build, you know, I incorporated or I went to an LLC, at about 10 years later. So it took me about 10 years really to, I had, you know, a couple of employees, a couple of people that worked with me. They were still contractors. They weren't actually employees. Same thing. I had a couple of developers, and that was what I really first started, was hiring developers because I couldn't build them all myself, and a couple of copywriters. So it was really still just building websites and doing a little bit of Facebook, you know, posting, because there weren't ads and those kind of things at that time either. So it was, you know, more like a few people helped me out and a few, you know, a few more helped me out. And then I thought, it was 2015 when my husband and I looked at each other and said, either build it like a real business so you, where you could sell it, because that's, you know, the ultimate goal of any business is that somebody else could run it, or you keep doing it yourself. And then when you decide to quit, you decide to quit. And I said, okay, I'm going to build it so I can sell it. So that was,
I love that.
Yeah, it was about 2015 when I decided to do that and transition towards that. So
that's awesome. And then, so, you know, when you were first starting out, how did you get those first few clients?
Yeah, most of it was word of mouth. I mean, I would tell somebody what I was doing, and a friend had a business, or I would, I walked into a couple businesses. I'm pretty introverted, so I don't love just going and selling, but I'd never mind talking about a business. You know, I never mind talking to people. So I never even considered it selling. And I realized later it was more consultative selling.
Right.
And it all happened like that. I would be at a women's luncheon or a church function or something, and somebody would say, what do you do? And I would, you know, I learned early on too, not to give my, you know, not to say I build websites. You know, I would tell people what the website actually did for them, you know, for a business.
Ooh, and I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I early on learned to say, well, you know how, and this was early, so you know how businesses are looking to get online. You know, I'd pause and they would say, yeah. Yeah. And I'd say, okay, well, that's what I do for people. So then they'd have to ask me, well, what do you mean? So,
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, so it would engage in conversation, and I'd talk about the what, you know, so I would tell them, you know, cause people knew what websites were, they understood, but they didn't know why they needed it at the time. I mean, I literally had dozens of conversations with people who said, my clients don't use the internet. I was like, well, you're going to be wrong about that in a year or two. So, but that's how I got them, was just having conversations with people, and they would tell a friend or tell another colleague or tell a business owner. And so, and it's a small town. I don't live in a big town. So that was another benefit to it. You know, there wasn't a lot of it, and I was also good at SEO. So, you know.
Right. Very good. So just like putting yourself in those situations where, you know, you're setting yourself up to just have that conversation, you know, whether it's through like church luncheons or women's groups or whatever. I think that's an awesome strategy.
Yeah. So I knew it was networking, but it's not like I'm, you know, said, oh, I have to go to networking events, but I just did it. You know, I did wherever I was, I would just talk about those kinds of things.
That's awesome. Yeah. And how has that strategy evolved over the years for how you continue to grow your agency and bring in more leads?
Yeah. Well, honestly, that I don't want to say it's been luck, because it has been strategic. Quite honestly, once I figured out that it worked, I was actually more strategic about it. And then, you know, but the majority of my clients now are word of mouth. I get a lot of phone calls. I mean, I've said it, I don't do advertising, particularly. I live in a small town. Actually a lot of my clients though are out of town. So I've gotten a lot of those going to networking events, and that's what I've done. So I've developed relationships, same thing. I actually had a lady call me at the beginning of this year who had gone through two marketers since she and I met at a networking event, and she didn't like either one of them. And she said, I kept your card because I really felt like I connected with you. And I said, well, that's my purpose. I mean, that's honestly how I've done it all the time, is, you know, I'd rather give you good information and not try to win your business right away, but make a connection with you, because either you'll come back to me or you'll refer me. So my strategy has never really changed in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm always for a consultation. So I tell people all the time, I'd rather talk about your marketing and help you out for free than you pay me and not be happy with it if I can't do what you need to do. So now, and I train my employees that way as well. We're all very consultative. Actually, the way I found them is I work with a lot of traditional media as well. I do mostly digital, but I'll do your traditional if I do if I work for you as a CMO function. And so I've hired a lot of people out of the traditional media because they like the consultative selling. And so,
right.
So for the most part, I just developed a reputation for it. And
right.
Yeah, that's cool.
It really changed
a lot, but yeah, it had changed a lot, but.
Well, yeah, like you figured out what worked and then you just doubled down on it.
Exactly.
And it's interesting because we connected on a platform called Alignable, and it was months ago now. I just sent you a message and I was like, hey, like, you know, I have a podcast. I'd love to have you come on, share your story. And so do you use Alignable at all to connect with small businesses?
You know, I have not. And again, I mean, it's a lot like a Yelp I think a lot of those things are phenomenal things, but we live in this really tiny town. So people just don't use it as much. And so the people in this town that use it are the media salespeople, you know, and that's not a bad thing. So it's not like the majority of my connections are out of town. And so I haven't used it as purposefully as I'd kind of like to, because I do see that it's a great platform out of this town. I mean, not to knock my town. I just am saying it's just a small town. So it just isn't quite as robust, I guess, as it might be in bigger or to connect without people outside of your area. So yeah, same thing with LinkedIn. And, you know, a lot of them, I just haven't used them as much as I should and could and know that would work. So,
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We actually, with Review Robin, we met our first customer on Alignable and we were doing this. It was kind of a cool networking thing we had put together and it was called a review circle. So I brought together five women from five different industries. So there'd be like one marketer, there was like a therapist there, but anyway, there was five different people and they would all talk about ways to grow their business. So everyone would bring their own sort of have like a 10-minute spiel that you could give on, you know, how you could grow your business. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. And then at the end, if you wanted to leave reviews for the other four members, you could, you didn't have to, but we kind of facilitated that through Review Robin.
Nice.
And, it was a really great way. So everyone would walk away and everyone did leave reviews. So everyone walked away with five new Google reviews, just talking about like, this person really shared great information on this subject. And it was a really cool way to meet people. And we met one of the participants on Alignable and she ended up turning into our first customer.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. And that's actually probably one of the things that I did that was probably the thing that kind of launched a catalyst for my business in my town is I put on a free seminar, a couple of seminars. And so I gave away the information. So I invited all my best customers, asked them to bring somebody. And then I fed people dinner and did whatever. And I brought in a couple of people and then I spoke about, just how to use Google for free marketing. And so, giving good information and then,
just opens up that conversation. Yeah. You get to know the person.
Exactly. So that's a great idea. I love that. So
awesome. And then, so I'd love to know, you've been doing this for a while now. So what have you learned along the way about keeping your clients happy so that, hopefully they're going to bring in those referrals for you?
Yeah. That's a great question. Cause that's always it's always a challenge, especially, when you're starting out, because you want to, you'll almost do anything. You'll say yes to almost anything, hopefully not in a negative way, but you just kind of want to keep them happy and want to do so. And probably, I think you'll probably ask me like my best advice. Well, it's kind of the same thing as, how I realized is, making the expectations clear up front.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Having, yeah. And then re-educating on expectations repeatedly. Marketing is one of those things, especially building things like websites, you know, something that's nebulous. And we do marketing in three stages, because we, you know, this is how we attack it essentially is, you know, mm-hmm. awareness marketing. And that's where you're building a brand. And that is like putting out a sign. You're going to pay for that sign, and nobody has ever called the sign company and said, you got to come get my sign because I'm not getting any business from my sign. Nobody's ever done mm-hmm. that, to my knowledge.
Yes.
I'd love to know it if you do, but I've never heard that. But I have had people call me and say, you know what, this website's not working. Nobody comes in. Nobody's, you know, coming into my business because of my website. I'm like, but that's not necessarily why it's there. You have to drive traffic to it. So then that's that second, you know, that second phase of business is more customers. So you have the more visibility, then you have the more customers, and then you have growth. And so, right. yeah, so I'm always setting expectations. I wasn't really great at this at the beginning, you know, because that's what I would have is like, well, you're, you know, posting on social media, but I need to cancel because I've never gotten a client from it. And I'm like, well, are you asking for clients? Are you, like, you know, what are you doing to actually drive traffic? And they don't understand that. So educating my clients is probably the thing that I didn't do as well at the beginning. I just kind of assumed that they understood a lot of it and people don't. And so I've gotten really clear about expectations, and then I reiterate those expectations repeatedly. So,
right. So is that something where, you know, when you have, like you're doing, say, monthly reporting, for example, is that, you know, that opportunity you take to sort of just rehash, you know, what the goal was, how you're working to meet it, and then also maybe suggesting, you know, other avenues of, you know, growth for them?
Exactly. So, and yeah, looking at, you know, what kind of expectations do they have? So I think that's the other, you know, people, you know, a lot of people will come to you and they want an expectation, but they think they will tell you what they want and think they need. And so if you don't ask them what they expect that thing to do, you know, like I said, you know, websites and those kind of things, that visibility, if you don't ask what they want it to do, they may walk away thinking you're going to do one thing and you are doing a completely different thing. So that's the thing that, you know, learned. So yes, so I reiterate a lot what they said their expectations were, and then, you know, show how we've met those expectations, or show, you know, you need something else in order to meet those expectations if they're still the same expectations. So that's, yeah, that is definitely, and you know, I mean, we all lose clients. We all, you know, come and go. And that's what I've learned a lot is I don't think I've ever lost a client out of being unhappy with our actual work. It's always from expectations and understanding them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so important to have that communication dialed in and also figure out what way they communicate and, you know, what makes sense to them, because some people are just really not clear communicators as well. So figure out who you're kind of dealing with, what resonates with them, is also, you kind of got to feel out your clients too.
Absolutely. So asking the same question multiple ways, you know, so I may start with, you know, what are your expectations? But then I, you know, you want to keep going. So Kate, they always say more clients. And I'm like, okay, well, if I brought you 10 more clients, how many of those could you close? Okay, if I brought you 10 more clients, how many of those could you handle every day? Or is that a month, you know, per month? Is that, so I, you know, I just ask the same question multiple ways for that very reason, because I found, you know, some people will turn around and what they thought they wanted isn't exactly what they wanted. So sometimes just helping them, you know, verbalize what they expect and how they can, how they're going to take care of what they said they expect.
That's the problem.
Sometimes they're like, oh yeah, you know, bring me 100 clients, I could handle it. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me, who's going to answer the phone? How are you, you know? So I get a lot. I've turned almost into a business consultant the more I've done this, because I can, you know, I understand what it takes. If the phone starts ringing, you better know how to answer it. So
Yeah, if there's holes in their sales process on the other side, then you know there's going to be frustration because they're not seeing the customers because there's just a disconnect there.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's another piece that we really have looked at is kind of adding in more of that business consulting aspect to it, because that kind of rounds it, which is why I added CMO services to my to what our agency offers. So
interesting. Okay. Yeah. So what I would love to know now is, has there been, a big challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown your agency? And if so, how you've overcome that challenge?
Yes. Well, like I said, that's definitely one of them, is that expectations, managing expectations. So that's probably one of my bigger challenges. The other one is hiring. That one is hard. It is super hard. It's something everybody has, struggles with. And so, hiring, I've made some grandiose mistakes in hiring, like probably everybody has, So the bottom line is the way I don't know that I have necessarily, and I'm putting these in air quotes since your listeners can't see my finger quotes, is I don't know that I've fixed that. Mm-hmm. But I also have tried really hard to learn from those mistakes. And so I want to hire slowly and fire fast. Knowing exactly, again, expectations, managing expectations. That's something I have worked on is, making sure that when I hire, I manage expectations, they understand it, and that we reiterate those expectations pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. Up front, and that I take quite a while to actually do the hiring. So
how do you make sure someone is a good fit for your team?
Lots of conversations. That's really the, I think that for me, and I am a people person, I'm kind of introverted, but I love people. And so, I love to talk with people. And so I really want to have lots of conversations in kind of multiple areas. I have also given them more, kind of a trial period of saying, okay, well, I'm going to let, I'd like for you to work on this project. So they're not going to, they have the opportunity to show me what they can do to problem solve and to give feedback and to get, so in multiple different areas, and how they would react with and work with a client. Because I do CMO functions, I also hire some, I will hire and have hired for some of my businesses, the marketing person that I'm going to work with. And so that's a reason I don't want to put somebody in that position that I can't implicitly trust, because I'm not going to see them all the time. And I'm overseeing them, but I'm not going to be, they're not going to be in my presence all the time. So I've just had to really learn to have lots and lots of conversations and trial periods, trial projects, trial periods, trial everything, honestly.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, because it's really easy to say, you're an expert at something on paper, and then it's a whole other animal when, actually seeing it in action. So what were some of the mistakes that you made along the way that you learned from with regards to hiring?
Yeah. Well, hiring somebody, I don't want to say it's a mistake to hire a friend. I don't want to say that, but at the same time, that was probably one of my greater mistakes. Salespeople.
There's a bias in there.
There is. And, a desire to please and a desire to, not that there was other mistakes along the way. It wasn't the friend part necessarily, but it was, that I didn't take care to protect that differently than I might have, or I was quicker to believe, quicker to agree to, quicker to think that, they wouldn't do something. Wrong or inappropriate. And so it was that was a complete and utter failure. And so ruined several things. So that I think that that was, it wasn't the friend necessarily. It was what I did that I did not do all of the steps that I should have done. Does that make sense? But, you know, so that is definitely one of them. I think with salespeople, you know, I love, and I am a salesperson. So, but reminding yourself that when you're a salesperson, you sell and you'll sell yourself. So learning to ask some different questions and talk differently to them. And I want to pay my salespeople as much as I can possibly pay, but I want to be paying commission.
Right. So. Awesome.
So that is a complete shift from what I started with. So
awesome. Yeah. Very, very good lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five. So I'm going to have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Anything by Dan Kennedy. Absolutely love Dan Kennedy as a copywriter, but I think there's a book too by, Chet Holmes, that's The Ultimate Sales Machine. So that was probably one of the most influential books on selling for me. So and anything by Dan Kennedy. So
very cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
I am not an early morning person on purpose, but I choose to get up very early. So I am a Bible reader. Actually, I teach the Bible. So I read first thing. That's my very first, well, coffee is actually the first thing. So
yeah.
And so those two things are my very first thing, just to get myself centered and get myself in the right place, in the right position. And I usually then read something short about marketing, because I do love, something that's going to kind of educate me. And I have several, people that I follow and copywriters that I might follow. So, yeah.
Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, that was funny. I saw that question, and think about that question. I'm not sure that there is a CEO I follow. So there's several marketers, but I don't know. So I can't say that there is, because they're a CEO, I guess I should say. So
okay. No problem.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should. Maybe you should give me your favorites, because I don't know. I can't say that I do because they're a CEO.
So, no, it's interesting because not everyone does. There's a few that I like. I like, I follow like Grant Cardone and Andy Frisella and a few entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But I like how they just kind of come up in my social media feeds, and then I can sort of just always kind of keep a pulse on what they're talking about. So that's sort of how I follow them.
Yeah. And I think because I follow people that are marketers, I hadn't thought about, they probably are CEOs of their own company, but I'm more following their marketing. And so I hadn't really thought about CEO, but it's kind of interesting.
Very good. Yeah. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
For communication with our team, I love Telegram.
I haven't heard of that.
I love Telegram. Yeah. And we have just, it's really been a great tool, but then a tool called Vectera, which is a whiteboarding tool.
Okay.
But it's also recording whiteboard tool. So that I've really, really,
cool.
You take notes, you make a whiteboard and you can keep it. And so each of my clients has a Vectera. So.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And then the last question I have for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Yeah, one thing I wish I had known. I can honestly say one thing I wish I had done, probably, but then I don't know, I've kind of changed my mind about this, but is focus on one industry. I've said that for several years that, if I had focused on one industry, I could have gotten a lot broader, maybe bigger in a different time frame. But that's, and if I was going to tell somebody that's starting, that's what I would tell them to do. Focus on one industry or one and one type of digital marketing and become really good at that. Mm-hmm. However, I say that, and my favorite thing is varieties.
So
I love the fact that the zoo is one of my biggest clients, or, you know, I have an urgent care and I like shifting and changing hats. So
yeah,
maybe that's, I say that and then I'm like, I don't know if I'd ever change it, go back and change it. So
yeah, no, it's yeah. True. It's so yeah. Cool when you just get to sink your teeth into a new industry. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't think it's as profitable overall, but at the same time, you know, it's rewarding and, you know, yeah. it's so cool when you're able to just learn about these really unique industries because yeah, like it's, I remember I used to work with like coffee shops and I was learning all about like how like the roasting process works. And it's just like, it's very mm-hmm. cool. Like what you learn along the way.
Exactly. I know. I like to think different because the marketing principles are the same. It doesn't matter what you're marketing. It's all, that's all the same. So to apply those principles to different industries. And like you said, get to learn about different pieces of different industries. I find that fascinating. So
me too.
Yeah, I think I would say, you know, I probably would have done it, but I don't know if I would have done anything differently. So, I don't know. This is my favorite part, probably. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I probably awesome. Wish I knew how to hire better when I started. So
yes. Well, Holly, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's been a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing H2M Solutions. So thank you for being today's guest.
I appreciate it, Julia. Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.